Hey, how's it going?
Hey man, how you doing? Sorry.
You can just introduce yourself, say your name and give yourself a title of some sort.
Sure thing. I'm Dan Chamberlain. I'm a comedian. I play Justin on the CISO show Thing Starter, and I'm a staff writer at Above Average.
All right, so I have here that Dan Chamberlain is a planter, lawyer, author, and the 76th governor of South Carolina.
Oh boy. No, I was lieutenant governor in the late 80s, but no, you know what the big one was growing up was always, hey, you related to Wilt Chamberlain? It's like, yeah, man, sure. I guess you got it. I'm related to Wilt Chamberlain. but we spell it different too. I'm an LAIN.
Yeah. So was it that biting, just pure witty sarcasm of responding to Wilt Chamberlain questions that got you into comedy?
Yeah, I was really over everything when I was like 10 years old. Real, real caustic child.
Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven.
I think one of the funniest things in the world is someone trying very hard to be very serious. It doesn't work. And I mean, a lot of that's growing up with brothers too. You know, sort of that secret twin language of, you know, making each other laugh at the back of church, or, you know, knowing just how to push your dad's buttons so he shorts out. Yeah. There's a lot of that. My dad was a big Python guy. He had all the Monty Python records. Mad Magazine. You know, we no cable at our house growing up. We didn't have cable, and we didn't have video games. So, you know, a lot of the British comedies that they did late night on PBS, and our subscription to Mad Magazine that my older brother and I split. when I was a kid, we never had like a video camera. Like, we weren't like a very like tech savvy house, but anything like that, like really, really, really fascinating. Oh, like my older brother and I, we made radio shows on our tape deck. We had, my dad had this big, heavy set of headphones that would, you could plug it into the input on our big, you know, the big, stereo thing there. Yeah. And, we'd basically just improvise and cut around. The great thing, you know, the stakes are nothing. Like, I think every episode we'd probably just like record over the previous tape, you know. It's like just record over the day before a show. But I did like plays and stuff in high school. I think when you're a kid, unless like, and you just live in suburbia, like, and this is, you know, so I feel, boy, that's going to age you, being like, well, before YouTube and before anybody could go viral, it was a big thing. I remember when they did from Massachusetts. And so like every now and then, like, you knew some kid from school who went and did like an audition for like Ghost Rider or Zoom at the mall or something. I'd be like, what'd you do this week? Like, oh, nothing. I just auditioned for a TV show at the mall. And I was like, whoa, shit. But that world seemed very far away from whatever was going on in the Chamberlain house. Well, so I didn't go to college. After high school, I lived in Massachusetts, had a cruddy retail job, till I was like 19 or so. And, I decided at some point in there that like towards the end of high school, I was like, oh yeah, I want to do comedy stuff. And I knew that probably the best way to do that would be, you know, Second City or IO or UCB or Groundlings or something like that. I tried in Boston, but to get a grasp of like, to be like, oh, okay, you know, build up the nerve to go do like an open mic or something. And, I just felt like comedy was happening like behind closed doors at like, you know, Emerson or BU. I knew it was there, but I didn't really know where to find it. Like you'd go do an open mic and it'd just be all these, you know, older guys in their 40, you know, the Lenny Clark looking guys with their, you know, ruddy faces being like, you know, just telling like racist jokes and shit. And I was like, oh man, this is a bummer. So I moved to New York to do UCB, which New York won out over Chicago because it was a bus ride versus a plane ride in case I messed up real bad. I went through the whole improv program, but before I even started doing that, because I don't know, I had a little bit of like, what, I'll just start doing shows. Like I would go to they used to have a show on Friday nights called Liquid Courage. It was like an open mic, but for sketches and characters. And before I really knew anybody in New York, I would just show up at those and do I don't know, just write one man like, you know, little character monologues for myself, and you know, do them for, you know, the six people that made it all the way to the end of the show at like, you know, 2 a.m. or whatever. And that was sort of how I started making friends through comedy. Like, oh, these are the other people who are here every week doing this. And yeah, you know, like I did classes sort of on the installment plan. I always felt like I was getting lapped because the classes are expensive, man. Like, you know, they're always sold out and they're, you know, so like by the time I was taking, you know, like I took improv 301, like anybody I knew from like 201 was already like done and like getting on house teams. Cause I took like, you know, time in between all of them. But, yeah. And then, I don't know, gosh, about 6 years ago, I got put on a house sketch team, a mod team. And I did that for like 5 years or so. I did mod night there, just, an actor, and I hosted a couple other shows at the theater over the year and pulled the parachute on that this past winter of, you know, I think 5 years is an honest enough run. You know, take a break. That's good. It's a young man's game. Again, I was very serious about improvisation for a long time because I think that's the core of most, you know, whether you're doing Annoyance or Magnet or IO or whatever. I know they all have sketch programs, but the core is really improv. And so I think, even though my heart had always beat a little faster for sketch, I got, you sort of get focused on like, well, like, you know, but the real thing is improv, and that's what you should be able to do. And so I did, boy, oh boy. Yeah. I did my years of, you know, I remember you auditioned for a year, and then the ones that really screw with you is like, I'd auditioned for Harold Knight. And 1 year I got a call back and I was like, okay, but it's good because you're in the mix even though you didn't get on a team. And then the next year I went out and I auditioned and I didn't get a call back. It's like, oh man, you got like worse in a year. Like, that's no good. Like, you're backpedaling now. And yeah, I mean, I did that for, I don't know, a long time, a couple of years. A lot of people do.
What kept you going? I mean, what kept you trying again and again?
I don't know. I think a little, well, honestly, for me personally, I think a big part of why I was so stubborn about it is because I needed, in my early 20s, I needed some sort of validation like that because I hadn't gone to college. And I felt like I needed some sort of pedigree, some sort of stamp, some sort of like, you know, signal to the world that I wasn't just totally floating in the wind. Like, and that's my own shit. That's not the truth of the situation at all. But I think that might've been a reason why I was so like, I fucking have to, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, it makes total sense. And too, like, I always hear people who are like, I just want to be on a Harold team or a mod team just so I can like make friends, you know?
Like, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like there is something, I mean, and then once you're sort of in the mix, it's, and when, you know, once you're doing shows regularly, when you're on a team, and you know, the reason I say it's like, oh, you don't need, you can find a team that hosts a show somewhere every week. What matters is the muscle memory of getting new shows up on the regular. You know what I mean? Like, and that's invaluable. Just the process of, and then throwing it away and then being done with it. And then being like, well, we did that sketch and maybe it was great, maybe it was terrible, but either way, we're never doing it again. And we, on to the next thing, on to the next thing, on to the next thing.
And the next thing for Dan Chamberlain was ThingStarter.
So ThingStarter is a humdinger of a show. It's
is that the official byline?
It's a humdinger of a show. Yeah, that's the that's like the P.T. Barnum press release for for our show. I believe the formal genre is called semi-scripted. It's a semi-scripted workplace comedy about a tech upstart that's sort of somewhere between Reddit and Kickstarter. It's like a it's a workplace comedy about this crazy company, but then we're developing within the scripted stuff, we developed these strange, crazy, deranged products, and then went and ran actual focus groups and interviewed actual experts in the field of production for whatever that product may be. So sort of like a Nathan For You, Ali G-ish sort of thing happening within the bookends of the scripted stuff.
Welcome to ThingStarter. We take real people and get their real reactions.
I do not like the hand concept.
To fake products.
Get points for anything that proves you're not a racist.
Each mattress perfectly recreates the way our ancient ancestors slept.
Plus, a look at the company that makes them.
Sneaking a seltzer? I'm not sneaking it. I'm having it.
It's an insane way to run a business.
That's part of being in a community. Being unhappy.
I will say that having worked on one or two projects in the vein of ThingStarter, where we're, not necessarily pranking people, but sort of hidden camera release based sort of comedy, I think participants are a little hipper than we really like. People sort of know the vocabulary, even people who you might not think are oh, big comedy nerds or whatever. It's like everyone knows Impractical Jokers, and everyone knows, a lot of people know Nathan For You. A lot of people know, even Punk'd and stuff like that. Everyone's sort of hip to the language of it. So I think that even if people get the idea that there might be something under the surface going on, they're happy to play along. No one ever called this out. But there was, I'll tell you, there was one guy in one focus group that I could tell on his face. There was, I couldn't tell you what the line was, but it's like, he was wearing like a Columbia sweatshirt, and it's like, all right, this guy figured something out.
He's playing the game.
Yeah. He's playing, but what are you like? I think people like keep that close to their chest because that's such an insane, like, Truman Show accusation to make.
Yeah, so accuse that and then be wrong.
I know. It's like, that's like something that like a schizophrenic would like shout at. You know what I mean? Like, what is this? Some kind of TV show?
You have to be so certain to call that out.
And for what it's worth, and I'm not telling any tales out of school, I think in the edit is where, a lot of that show, a lot of these kinds of shows get made. And when you're in the edit, you can make a choice to make people really look like idiots, or you can give people the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think we made anybody look like too big of an idiot or anything. I don't think anybody got slimed or totally kicked in the shins.
Your character on the show is a bit kind of like a cross between Michael Scott and Steve Jobs. Is that a fair assessment?
Fair, yeah.
How much of that character is in you, and how much of that is just playing a character?
I don't know. I think I'm definitely, sometimes not necessarily to my benefit. I have a hard time taking things seriously. I think that's a problem of Justin's too. a little bit of a goofball, a little blinders on Pollyanna assuming the best will happen even when faced with nothing but evidence to the contrary. I think I have a little bit of that in my DNA, but you know, what else are you gonna choose, man? we all know why it won't work. We all know why life is bad. It's like, well, sure.
Well, I think too, like, it's a fun sort of worldview to sort of live in. Because it can be so easy to fall into cynicism or pessimism. Just to be blindly optimistic is such a welcome relief sometimes.
Yeah, and I think there's a little bit of an unfair association with, you know, people think that, you know, optimism and naivete go hand in hand. It's like, nah, man, not at all. Like, you know, I appreciate that it's pat to say that happiness is a choice or whatever, but you know, the energy you bring to any situation matters. It really does. It really matters. Fortune hangs on the tone of your voice more than you think. And I think there's a lot of that in Justin.
Cool. Well, I think that. Oh, I wanted to touch on mixtapes and mashups. How did that happen?
Oh boy. I mean, I love pop music. I really love pop music. Love hooks. When I was in high school, one of my buddies had a sort of a pre-Sirius satellite radio, and we would hang out on his roof and get high and listen to the BBC One Radio One Essential Mix every Saturday. And that's where, like, I don't know, I first started hearing like guys like Soul Wax and Z Trip, and you know, I don't like cut decks or anything, but it was the first place I heard like mashups, man, and I love mashups. It's a Even prior to, like, you know, Girl Talk, there have been guys that have been doing what Girl Talk does for like decades. I think it's a lot of, conceptually, it's almost like using the same language as a stand-up frames a joke of like, have you ever noticed that this is a heck of a lot like this? It's like, and yeah, and you're just showing the example of that in a different medium with music. You know what I mean? It's like, it's pop music. You know, there's only so many hooks. There's only so many like chord progressions you can do in a 3-minute song about having your heart broken. So it's like, oh, have you never noticed how, you know, We're Never Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift is almost the exact same song as I Want You Back by the Jackson 5?
I remember when we broke up, the first time saying this is it, I've had enough. We hadn't seen each other in a month when you said you needed space. What? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm gonna change. Trust me, remember how that lasted for a day. I say, I hate you, we break up, you call me, I love you.
We are never ever getting back together. We are never ever ever.
But it's almost using like that same syntax that a stand-up would say, hey, have you guys ever noticed that this thing is exactly the same as this thing? And then you show them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're just making me think it's strikingly similar in a positive way. I don't mean to.
To
like, you know, there's, how many comedians have you seen the bit where they have the guitar and they play the same four chords and say like every pop song is the same four chords and sing it like, and those are always fun. Like, every comedian totally might do it, but they're still enjoyable.
Yeah, those Axis of Awesome guys, I think they're from Australia. That I know that's like a famous bit of theirs. Yeah. And I mean, and what's nice about that too, it brings it back to sort of like the, you know, the cynicism thing. It's like, yeah, you can, you know, be like, yeah, doesn't it fucking suck? Every song's a goddamn saying. It's bullshit. Nothing's original anymore. Versus you could just dance. You know, it's like, that's also an option and have fun with it. It's always more fun to dance, you know?
Totally.
I wrote that Martina McBride song. That's me.
Great. Well, thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for gabbing, dude.
Yeah, any plugs, social media, things that are on CISO, et cetera?
Well, ThinkStarter is available on CISO right now. Dirty 30 comes out at the end of the summer on, like, I think it's one of those, like, movie theaters on demand all the same day. And can I shout out my Twitter? Can I plug that?
Yeah, please.
My Twitter is AMFMPM.
And thanks again. We'll play another one of your songs at the end. And thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed talking with Dan. As always, you can follow the show on Twitter at CISO Show, that's SEESO Show, or online at CISOshow.com. Have a great week.